Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
Are you doing well? Again, to everyone joining us during the week, online right now, for those tuning in from overseas, welcome. Can we say a massive hello to everybody who's connecting with us online? Just great to have you with us today. Brilliant. Had to take a moment, celebrate Andrew and Gina becoming grandparents. Papa, Gigi. Oh, but we are celebrating, no doubt you're with us, Sam and Grace, having little Evangeline, which is just beautiful, and really grateful for her safe arrival, which is cool. But are you doing good? You know, I really feel like I've got something in my heart that God wants to unpack, and I'm really praying we get to a place where there's an exchange that happens today. And so I'm really grateful for the privilege it is to always get together and just get around God's word. And it definitely isn't about one person bringing one thought, but it's about us all with a united heart saying, God, would you speak to us? And in that, it's amazing how he can say one thing to one person and something different to another person, but we walk away having heard from him. And that's absolutely our desire today. And even if it's your first time in church or you're relatively new, that you would walk away feeling like you've had something of God placed in your heart. And so really believing for that. Also, the things like we're talking about with Sim Street get me so excited. Yeah. Because when we landed here 10 years ago almost, we landed on a Sunday and we actually closed the Mooney Ponds venue that Sunday night and we opened here the next Sunday. And that week is when I met the church. And we met them over paintbrushes, met them over like concrete cutting, met them over IKEA assembling. And we had this thing where really like we got to know church because we all built the church. And I really felt like when we started this, it was like God's house built by God's people. And there'll be many opportunities and ways you can get involved or even start joining teams. Because we want to go into Sim Street from a place of strength and multiplication rather than just a place of stretch. And so let's not look at why we can't be involved, but let's realize what we realized 10 years ago is actually it was a pathway for many people to discover, hey, there's something on my life. And in that, the relationship enabled there to be something activated in their lives. And we stand here today because God loves to involve us in his awesome church. And so let's be excited about that. And the Bible does say, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So pray the Lord of the harvest. So Father, we thank you. We actually take a moment to thank you for the harvesters. Thank you for all the incredibly faithful, the seen and the unseen, week in, week out, devoting their heart, devoting their gift, devoting their family's time. There's no doubt many things we could be caught up in, but there's so many that are consumed by your house, and we honor you for that. We thank you for your beautiful church. And Father, we just pray that today you would be honored in everything that we step into and pray that you would have your way. Lord, as you've shown it in my spirit, now let it come to the natural. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen,
amen. Amen. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. If we read our Bible, we discover that prayer absolutely is a game changer. Thank you, legends. Prayer opens prison doors. It multiplies the small and makes it abundant. It transforms the sinner into a saint. It breaks the power of darkness and it sets the captive free. It raises the dead. It purifies the perverse. Come on, somebody say amen. Everyone's getting more and more quiet. It unlocks the addicted. It drives out the demonic. It binds up the broken. It heals the hurting. It stills the storm. It liberates the leper. It secures our soul. It unlocks heaven. It sets free our spirit. It outworks unlimited ultimate authority. Prayer exchanges self for surrender, isolation for intimacy, independence for divine dependence, and it takes flesh and makes it faith. I love prayer. I love it. I have to say, it's something that I love, but it's also something that's a constant work on in my life. And I think this is a topic sometimes can make us go, yes, I love it. But at the same time, if I look at my daily habits, I could go, I could probably do that a bit better. And we have moments where we read that Jesus' disciples in the garden at the most significant time fall asleep. And we can go, how did they fall asleep? But at the same time, there's a part of me that goes, you're not the only one, right? There's a bit of comfort that comes in that moment. If Jesus, God himself, is in a moment where he's saying, come on, would you pray? And they fall asleep in his presence. Who knows that it's not always that we're going to get it all right, but I tell you, it does refine that reality. Come on, prayer is powerful. Jesus is saying in that moment where the pressure comes, don't hold back from praying. Don't stop praying. Don't forsake praying. Come on, get in that place because you can crush the serpent's head in the moment of prayer. Philip, we're going to go there this morning a little bit. When I was in a meeting, when I was a young Christian, starting out in leadership, I found myself in a meeting where there was a gentleman, a great pastor by the name of Bayless Connolly, who was in this room, and he just shared this acronym. And as a young person in faith and learning, you know, and again, this is an area I keep wanting to develop, he gave a real simple acronym, and out of that, I've really created it to be something that I've modeled my prayer off. Just simple prayer. P, praise. R, repent. A, ask. And Y, yield. Praise, repent, ask, yield. And last Sunday night, I hope it's online, but Pastor Nadia preached on the Lord's Prayer, and I got to tell you, it was brilliant. Taught and unpacked the whole thing, and then ended up saying, oh, there's this cool acronym. And I want to take it from the, oh, there's a cool acronym. I want to unpack this a little bit, and we're really going to stick on two of them, really, and the other two will flow on if we get the first two in that order. And so we're going to jump straight into it. But P is for praise. Praise. Come on, I don't know about you, but when you start to pray, one thing I've found that really enables me to start actually aligning my spirit and my heart and my thoughts towards the things of God is to praise. To praise Him. I love the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 9, it says that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I love that because it's about turning and not just asking, but he says, would you seek my face? And what I found with praise is praise actually starts to align me to him. In Matthew 6, 9, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So Jesus is actually the one giving the instruction. How do you pray? He says, start by honoring my name. Start by exalting me. Start by lifting me up. The Bible instructs us actually hundreds of times through the word to say, it says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And why would Jesus do that? Why would he say, start by honoring, blessing me, revering me, and declaring my name holy? Because praise positions us in his presence and his perspective. David gives us this directive in Psalm 100. He says, actually, if you want to enter into it, if you want to enter into his gates, it starts with thanksgiving. And enter into his courts with praise. God inhabits the praises of his people. The Bible says, come on, I lift my eyes. Where does it come from? So many times we go to prayer. Why? Because we're needing God to move in an area of our life. But I tell you, if we just lift our eyes from what we're focusing on and what's consuming us and what's surrounding us and what's overcoming us, if we just lift our eyes, praise is an incredible way to shift your perspective. And as we praise him, all his presence meets us in that place. And what does that do? Does that make everything okay all the time? No. But it gives us the confidence that the one we're praying to is more than able. He is more than capable to be able to do what we cannot do. And while we're out of control, he's still in control. Praise. Praise. I found myself waking through the night at the moment, waking early. There's a lot going on. But I wake and I just find myself going, Jesus, I love you. God, I honor you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, you're awesome. God, you're faithful. Gosh, God, I love your presence. You say, well, why? Is this just like heaven? Like, no, because it's just like, it's praise. Let praise come out of your lips. Oh, God, there's the bills going up. Oh, God, it's so challenging with my teenagers. Oh, God, that doesn't elevate Jesus. That elevates our situation and circumstance. And I'm not saying we deny that, but I say if we start from a position of not just getting God into our realm, but actually placing ourselves in his realm, all of a sudden, we're not just praying for stuff. We start prophesying over our teenagers. We start prophesying over our circumstance. We start prophesying change into the environment and the thought life and the habits. Praise. Come on, praise. We need to rise up in praise. I love what the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I heard it was recently discovered scientifically that the part of your brain that processes anxiety and the part of your brain that enables thanksgiving, they can't happen at the same time. So you can't be anxious and praising. And you can't be praising and anxious. We get to choose. Right? How awesome is that? I don't know, that's a good thing. Right? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So he's not saying don't make your request known. He's saying no, make your request known, but do it with thankfulness. God, I thank you that while I'm out of control, you're in control. I thank you, Lord God, that whilst it seems like the account's always empty, I thank you, Lord, that you're a God of unlimited supply. I thank you, Lord God, that whilst I'm in the midst of worry, you haven't given me a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. It's not denial, but it's a new declaration that comes because we praise. 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 Number two, or second one, repent. Repent. And everyone just went quiet. The thing of it is, and this is actually where I want to stick today, is repent. Because I think we've lost the art of repentance. We live in a culture and a generation that justifies everything, and really, because we've denied God in society, there is no boundary of consciousness. And if we're not careful, it can creep into our own lives, and we find ourselves repentance is an irregular thing when actually he says daily, I want you to repent. See, the thing is, it's seen as a dirty word. It's seen as a condemning word. The old turn or burn, you know, like repent. We hear it through the New Testament, the Gospels. Repent, for the kingdom is near. That's not saying repent and freak out because your time is short. That's actually an encouragement. Hey, repent. The kingdom of heaven is right here. Well, you can turn at any moment and there the kingdom of God is present. He's not saying he's long off. You've got to go and change all of these things to make your way. He's saying, no, no, just repent. What is repent? Repent is to turn. And we turn in our heart and then we start to turn in our mind. God transforms our heart, but then he says, come on, we've got to work to renew our mind. And I've found the way to renew my mind is through repentance. I'm thankful that the things when I first got saved, are not the things I'm repenting of today. You'd be thankful for that as well. Thankful that I'm not stumbling on stage because of a bender last night. But it doesn't mean that we go, well, I'm not getting drunk anymore. I'm not sexually immoral anymore. I'm not perverse anymore. I'm not addicted anymore. So therefore, there's not really anything to repent from. No, no, just the things that we need to repent from look different. It looks different. Lord, I'm sorry for my lack of faith in this season. God, I'm sorry for taking it into my control rather than trusting your process. God, I'm sorry for not looking to you and asking you to intervene, but to try and work it out in my own strength. The same power of repentance is at work. They might look like they're different situations, but the same heart response is what God is wanting. See, repentance is not about the punishment of sin. No, it's about the purification of a Savior. It's not about a tempting Satan. It's about a triumphant Savior. And it's not about a condemning, but a cleansing. It's not religious law, but it's righteous liberation. Colossians 1:13 says this, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and he's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Come on, Jesus is saying this daily. Daily, guys, I want to forget your debts. Daily, guys, I want to wash you clean. He's literally saying, daily, I want you to go to my grace. I want you to wash off the world. I want you to daily purify the private places of your heart. Make whole the mind and be cleansed by the cross. Come on, he wants us to live in that place where we're not just happy, but come on, we're living holy. Come on, we've got to raise the standard in this hour and in this time. Watering down the reality of God's word and his work in our life does not make our light shine brighter. It does not make the gospel more attractive. No, no, no. When we live in the purification of the incredible word of God, it enables there to be a light that penetrates darkness. And it draws people to the reality of, is there a grace big enough to do that in your life? Maybe the grace is big enough to do that in my life too. So a couple of repentance revelations. Number one, repentance moves independence. Repentance removes independence. Repentance causes self-surrender. It causes a self-surrender. I remember earlier this year walking in at the start of the year, and we all, I think Francesco's in Europe at the moment, but we love Francesco. If you haven't met him, you when he gets back, you'll meet him. He'll be over time saying hello to everyone. You know, like, he's Italian, he's a beautiful man. And I saw him for the first time this year, and we gathered, we embraced. It was longer than I felt comfortable, but it was good. And he said, "Pastor Craig, you look great. You look great. You don't need to change a thing." And sometimes we act like that when it comes to the grace of God, because the grace of God embraces us as we are. The grace of God meets us where we are. And he says, "You don't have to go and change anything for me to love you." But what his grace doesn't do is say, "Stay the same." His grace actually then enables us to look at the areas of our life and say, "You know, there's a little bit of heaviness here. There's a little bit of excess there. There's a little bit of too much there. There's a little bit of too much of that there. There's a little bit too much pride here. There's a little bit too much independence there." And actually causes us to go, "Come on, God, what do you want to change? God, what do you want to strip off? Your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. What things do you want to take from my life so I can live the life you've called me to live?" Repentance causes self-surrender, or surrendering of self. As I said before, come on, we can't settle to the society's standards, but rather by his Spirit. This isn't in our strength, by the way, not by our might, nor by our, but by his strength. Come on, by his Spirit, I'm living to my Savior's standards. It removes independence. As a child grows up, you want them to become more dependent, but as a Christian grows up, we should become more dependent. Sorry, as a child grows up, you want them to become more independent, sorry. But as a Christian grows up in maturity, we should become more dependent. That makes sense? Repentance purifies pride. It purifies pride. Rather than be justified by Christ, we now live in a time where it's like, no, we will justify our lifestyle without Christ. Rather than be justified by Christ, we justify, but they do it. Yeah, but you should see how bad it is in my workplace. At least I'm not like them. Come on, what measure? Since when did the standard of the world be the standard of the saints? There's got to be something in us that actually goes, "God, no, I don't want to think like that. No, God, I don't want to accept that. I don't want to own that." And we've got to actually just go from a place where we're not saying to God, "God, you know what? I'm good on my own. No, God, without you, God, I'm lost. Less of me and more of you." We've got to get rid of the pride that's in our life. Come on, it's not about comparison with others. It's not about excuses. It's not justifying it. You've got to hear it. His grace is enough. Come on, rather... Pride, what pride does is rather than become more like Christ, we make Christ more like us. Rather than the word molding us, we mold the word to suit us. And we stop at God being the lover of our lives rather than making him Lord of our lives. And sadly, we have a society right now that says the sins of the world is to actually believe and declare that God's loving boundaries, that's what sin is. Come on, we've got to change. Yes. We can't accept that. We can't hold on to that. We can't let that shape our lives. The Bible, come on, when we read through the New Testament, Paul's building the church. He would go to different churches and he would be very clear and open about the things. Guys, these things have got to change. Come on, we can't tolerate that stuff. That's not the stuff of a newborn, spirit-filled, Christ-centered, old nature gone, new nature here. That's not the way of living this out. Come on, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, all these things alike. I warn you, as I warned before, that those who do such things won't inherit the kingdom of God. Come on, it might sound a little heavy, but I pray it doesn't, because repentance isn't about the weight of sin and condemnation. No, it's about the weight and the wonder of what Christ did to take that and lift it off our lives. Come on, let's not water down the life that God's called us to live. Come on, our playing small, it doesn't serve anybody. Pride makes the Bible sound like me, Jesus look like me, and God work for me. Humility enables the Bible to be my authority, Jesus my goal, and God my Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 8:13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Come on, that's not something God desires in our life. Come on, that independence, that thing of we don't need God, we know better on our own. Oh, I'll just hold on to that offense because I'm offended and I'm allowed to be. That's not God's will and his ways. Come on, we've got to repent. We've got to invite his cleansing. We've got to invite his grace, invite his hope to set us free. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility, boom, comes wisdom. Humility. I want to tell you, humility enables a hallelujah. Humility enables a hallelujah. It may take a knock to our pride, but humility, God, I'm sorry. God, I don't know how I got so off track. And we can say to ourselves, yeah, but you know, like, I'm not that bad. I tell you what, the enemy is not trying to make you some drug lord, money laundering murderer. That's not the enemy's goal in our life. His goal is to make us lukewarm. If he can just get us lukewarm. If he could just get us to take a little bit of the fire out of what's in our, he's placed in our spirit. A little bit of compromise here. A little bit of my truth over there. A little bit of offense carrying here. A little bit of cancel culture over there. A little bit of cutting corners because, hey, it makes it better for us. And then we don't really, I mean, you know, we need the money at this moment. A little bit of skipping church. I mean, he loves me anyway. Yeah, I get it, but it won't be long. Come on, it's called Friday Night Drinks, not Friday Night Drink. Hook me up with a plural, please. A little bit of scrolling here. A little bit of staying too long there. I mean, hey, they posted it. They obviously don't care if I look at it. We may justify all we want, but I tell you what, it won't mean we live justified. There's got to be something in our heart that goes, God, you're God. Your ways are higher. God, I surrender it. I lay it down. In my weakness, I boast. Why? So your strength can come. I don't blame others. I don't put it on somebody else. I don't say it's not my fault. No, God, I get rid of pride in my life and I come to you. Come on, we've got a world right now that celebrates pride everywhere, and you can read into that however you want. But I'm telling you, it went from a flag to a week to a month, and now it's going to be called soon a season. And I'm just coming to say to you, come on, pride isn't of God. Right? In all areas of our life, it's not of God. That's not his will and his ways for our life. No, he comes to the humble of heart. Come on, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I'll heal their land. We want to know how revival is going to kick off in our nation. It's going to come from God's people. See, he's not talking to the unsaved, he's talking to the saved, right? And he's saying, come on, if we would humble ourselves. Jesus, in Philippians 2, it says Jesus even humbled himself and became obedient even to death on a cross. But because he did, then his name was lifted up. Come on, we want Jesus lifted up more in our society. We've got to humble ourselves. We don't make ourselves higher than anybody. We don't project ourselves greater than anybody. We humble ourselves. He's the name above all names. He's the one that's worth following. He's the one that can take it all. We humble ourselves. Because number two, my repentance reinforces righteousness. I'm not going to ask, is this making sense? But is this okay? Are we all right? I know if you're new in church, this will feel a little heavy. But I tell you what, it's not about you going out and jumping through the hoops to get things right. The loving God you know, we know, sent his son Jesus to make a way. I said it before, we're not here just to live a happy God-filled life, but a holy Christ-led life. Come on, he wants to reinforce righteousness. You wash a car. Beautiful and clean. You go so far as even to shine the tires. Get the baby wipes. Who knows, they are a gift from God. Where were they before I had a child? You wipe the dash, the windows, all done. You come to church. You drive on the freeway, you put your kids in the car. Kiss it goodbye. The day you wash it is the night it rains. And all you got to do is follow something that day. And all of a sudden, that which is on others starts to flick all over you. And all of a sudden, it's dirty again. Isn't the good news is it's only one wash away. It's only one wash away from being cleansed and put back into that place where it's brand new. It's only one wipe down away of the things in the internal. Everybody on that side, look at that happy family. Happy family. Are you serious? 14, 11, and 5. Look at that crazy family. Food's everywhere, and we didn't even go through the drive-thru. How did this even happen? We got in the... Anybody have that room? No food in the car. It only takes one moment in a day for all of a sudden stuff to be a mess, which once was all right. Come on, just come daily and repent. Just come daily and get it clean. Just come daily and let Him wash you again. Just come daily and let mercy make a way. Just come daily and let His love say, hey, the way I cleaned before, I can clean again. Don't you worry, it wasn't in your strength, but it was in my spirit. Let my spirit come. See, the ways of God is actually to be weightless. You say, oh man, this is so heavy. It's a heavy word. No, actually, it's the most like burden-lifting word we could ever hear. It says, forgive me my debts, my sin, my transgressions, my trespasses. But if we don't go to repent, what we end up doing is carrying weight. You go, well, it's not that much weight. I mean, it's just a little attitude towards my boss at the moment because of the things they're doing. So it's just a little bit of weight. Yeah. You're still carrying weight you weren't designed to carry. Yeah. But because we get okay with one little bit of weight, one little bit of area of compromise, all of a sudden, yeah, but, you know, I can't believe my wife did that. She didn't even think of me in that moment, and then I felt disrespected, and so all of a sudden we hold something else. And then I can't believe it with all the pressure that's going on and stuff at work at the moment. It's just like I got home and things weren't the way I wanted them to be. And I sort of lashed out a little bit, probably a little bit too forceful with the kids. And, you know, and I mean, but they know I love them. I mean, it's fine. You know, it's just a, you know, hey, I'm here. I'm present. I mean, and all of a sudden we start carrying more weight. Next thing, we're watching something and everybody said, it's a great series. It's a great, you know, it's just one of the top at the moment. It's awesome, but it's filled with filth. The language is terrible. What it promotes and the imagery on it isn't something that we'd want our kids to watch. But hey, we're older now. I mean, we're more mature than that. And all of a sudden, that which was just a few little things, all of a sudden just starts mounting up. And we're carrying weight we were never called to carry. And we try and make it look cool. It's cool. Got these weights, you know. Like, my name was, oh yeah. It's just good because I really find it just deepens my spirituality because I can relate to other people who aren't in church. Just so relatable. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you struggle with that as well? Yeah, let me tell you about what my husband did. Oh, gossip over here. Oh, yeah. That feel good. No, you're fatiguing in areas you're never called to fatigue in. And then we come into worship and God doesn't condemn us, but we feel the weight of it. And He's saying, come on, would you come back to the cross? Would you drop my weight? Would you drop the weight you weren't called to carry? That's what repentance does. Repentance comes and it drops the weight. It drops it again to the one who doesn't just know how to carry it, but the one who cancelled it. Come on, there's a word for somebody right there. He cancelled it. That's the thing, is we think then that we go from that moment, we go pick it back up again. No, not in His economy, not from His perspective. Come on, you may be listening to this on home. Come on, when we drop the reality of the things of sin and shame and guilt in our life, when we place them down at His feet, the truth of it is that the Bible tells us that because of what Jesus did on that cross, Nadia read it out in worship, His mercy met us and He made a way where there was no way. And by Jesus' death, but not just His death, His resurrection. And it's His resurrection that changes everything. And here I am a few weeks, months ago, I'm here in this moment on a Sunday night. I'm literally kneeling here. It was a great worship moment and we're singing Worthy of It All. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. And we sing that, and I'm thinking He's worthy of the accolades. He's worthy of the good areas of my life. He's worthy of the things that it's like, God, that could only be You. And He's saying, no, Craig, I'm worthy of it all. What do you mean you're worthy of it all? He goes, I'm worthy of your shame. I'm worthy of your pain. I'm worthy of the offense that you've been carrying. I'm worthy of the areas you've been hurt and manipulated. I'm worthy of the area where you're holding something deep and you'll let no one. He goes, I'm worthy of it all. And I said, you're worthy of it all. He goes, yes, because I was the lamb that was slain once and for all. Yeah. See, we've got to wind it back just for a moment to be able to catch it. In Leviticus, it talks about the fact that when there was sin in somebody's life or sin in the people of God, and pure, spotless animal would be offered as an atoning sacrifice. And the blood that was shed from that animal enabled those people to be atoned for 12 months. So it didn't cancel it, but it did cover it. And so then what they would do, the priest would do, is he would lay his hands forcibly upon the head of that animal to transfer the sin of the people onto that animal, and the animal would be sacrificed, the blood would be shed, and therefore the debt was removed for that moment of time. And then here we are, we're singing, you're worthy of it all. And Jesus said, come on, Craig, I am the Lamb of God. And they placed the crown of thorns forcibly upon my head. What does the spiritual meaning of a thorn? It means sin, hardship. So the sins of the world were forcibly put upon our Savior's head. He was the spotless lamb. He was worthy to take the sins of the world. And so what we do when we worship him with everything, is it's not about removing the things that actually in our life that we go, oh, he'll be happy with this, he'll be happy with this. He's saying, no, come on, I want you to worship me with the weights. Come on, I want you to worship me from a place of repentance. I want you to worship me with that stuff. Come on, that you don't want anybody to know about, the things that you try and cover up all the time and you mask in your life. No, I'm worthy of it all. And when we start worshiping from a place where he's worthy of it all, I tell you, something starts to lift off your life. You start letting go of things. You start breaking free from areas that the enemy once had a hold of. Come on, we're exchanging our unholiness for his holiness, our unrighteousness for his righteousness, our guilt for his grace, our sin for his salvation, our death for his life. Come on, team, why don't you come and join me? He's worthy of it all. He's worthy of it all. Like sometimes I feel like I'm saying, why are you still carrying that, Craig? Why are you still carrying the condemnation? Had a moment the other day when I was with my kids or with Zion and we were playing sport. We get pretty passionate. A little bit determined. It got heated. We exchanged a few words. And in that moment, man, the weight. I was like, what? An egg. What kind of dad are you? Anyway, I had a moment when I looked him in the eye and said, mate, I'm so sorry. It was never meant, we were coming here to play basketball and have fun together. I'm sorry, mate, I love you so much. I just reinforced who he was and just encouraged him and I'm so proud of you. And later that night, he came and he said, Dad, I'm sorry too. Had a moment. It was just such a warm, it was just like, oh. It's funny though, the next morning I'm in my quiet time. And it's like God said, you want to repent to me as well? I was like, oh, I kind of dealt with it with Simon. We're good. And he's like, you want to just carry that as a bit of a splash of yesterday? Or do you want to get rid of it? I said, God, I'm so sorry for treating your son like that. Sorry for putting words over him that you'd never place on him. Lord, help me to be a better dad. God, I want nothing more than to just champion him like you would champion. I repent. I'm sorry. Not the dad I want to be. I gotta tell you, the weight that lifted off, I thought the weight lifted off the night before, but the weight that lifted off, you know what it does? It gives the enemy no more room. That's the power of repentance. It gives the enemy no more room. And I just know that God today, tonight, I mean, well, let's stick with this morning. This morning, I feel like God's saying there's people carrying weight you weren't designed to carry. So we're going to sing that song, Worthy of It All. We prepared something different. Oh, I really believe, oh man, I just felt as and I believe that people today, you're just going to lay it down. And it might, look in this room, you go, yeah, but you don't know the things I'm going through. I want to tell you, no one's too far off. No one's done too much that God, in a moment of a heart's response, won't meet you. They humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. He says, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive them their sins and I will heal their land. Real quick, get a phone call about 13 years ago on a Friday afternoon. I had the emergency phone number going to my phone. It's John. Hey, John, I'm Craig. Hey. He goes, I'm in a real dark place, okay? He goes, you don't understand. I'm not a good man. I'm like, hey, we've all got a past. He goes, no. I've persecuted the church. I've beaten up Christians. I've tried to burn down church buildings. I have 666 tattooed to my forehead. He goes, but I know something has to change, and I've been trying to go and make amends with everybody around me, but it's still like there's something that just, it's so heavy that I almost want to end my life. I said, don't do that. He goes, don't worry. I threw the shotgun off the bridge on earlier this morning, so I don't have the temptation. I'm like, good decision. I go, would you want to meet? And he goes, no. He goes, don't you run a church service? I said, we do. I said, meet me there, 10 a.m. on Sunday. We met. Didn't take long to figure out who John was. I said, mate, I tell you what, one moment his presence can change everything. I said, at the end of the service, there's going to be a moment where we get to believe in him. Not jump through hoops for him, but believe, place our faith in him. He says, I tell you what, if in that moment your heart, God's knocking on your heart, he will be, because you're hungry for the reality of repentance. You're hungry for the reality of restoration. Jesus is the one that restores. He's the one that forgives. I said, in that moment, just lift your hand. There'll be many others. You just lift your hand and respond. Pray that prayer from your heart. Anyway, from the moment I saw him in the service, and yes, I was peeking at the altar call, and there's John, first hand raised, praised the prayer. And I went and talked to him straight away afterwards. I want to tell you, it was a different man standing before me at the end of the service as it was at the start of the service. He had been forgiven, set free. He was a brand new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You may have walked in here. You may be listening online thinking, oh, the reason I'm online is because no one in church would accept me. You want to bet? You want to bet? The good news was is that John then looks after talking, he looks around and goes, hey, there's Baba Baba. I used to hang out with him in prison. I want to tell you, the family of faith isn't made up of a whole lot of righteous, good-looking people. It's made up of a whole lot of people that say, I can't do it on my own. I'm not good enough on my own. I'm coming to the cross. I'm coming to the cross. Come on with you, stand to your feet. Come on. Humility leads to hallelujah. You may have come in with regret, but you can walk out with rejoicing. You may have come in downcast, you can go out dancing. You may come in guilty, you can go out grateful. You may have come in burdened, you can go out blessed. You may be bound up now, but I tell you, breakthrough is coming. You may be weighed down, but it's time for a new worship. You may be heavy-hearted, but I tell you, there's a hallelujah in the reality of our response to worship him with everything. Come on, we're going to declare it. He's worthy of it all.
We trust that you are encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.